My sermon is in two parts this morning. We'll begin, naturally, with part one. Several weeks ago, in my office, I met with a Midland couple. They said I could share their story with you as long as I protected their names. So he made the journey to the United States hace 11 años, 11 years ago, de Mexico. He hasn't been able to go back to Mexico in all this time. He misses his mom. He misses the beauty, la belleza, of Mexico. He misses his hijo, his son. He came for a better life and to send money back to support his mother and his sister, who could not make the journey. He walked here, crossed the river. He was ready to work hard and hid. He worked in Dallas for 3 years and then came here to work in Midland 8 years ago. Here he met his wife, an American citizen. He adores this country, says, and he has worked hard for it. But now he says, me han hecho al lado. They have tossed me to the side. He had been working here for 8 years, like I say, in an oil field. A second response is the way of the heart. These stories of immigrants and refugees could solicit our empathy, could lead us to recall the words etched on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. This response of the heart would say, how could we deport a young person who came to this country at 5 weeks old and had no idea she was undocumented until she grew to age 15 and asked her parents to start attending driver's ed? And they sat her down and finally had the conversation and told her she would never be able to get a driver's license or get a job. This response of the heart asks us to call on our principle of inherent worth and dignity of all people, regardless of what country they happen to be born in. The response of the heart says, welcome, we extend to you our hospitality. But as I pondered how to give this sermon, this typical response of the heart, this particular appeal to hospitality, just did not sit right with me. To find out why, let's venture into the third response, the third way. I realized that the concept of welcome, of generosity, of hospitality in relation to immigrants doesn't sit well with me, because those concepts, right, are about sharing with someone something that is ours, right? But when it comes down to it, this country is not ours, really. Of course, if it belongs to anyone, it belongs to the indigenous people, to the Native Americans. The more I thought about it, the more the concept of hospitality to immigrants felt like false charity. In searching for responsive readings for this service, I kept finding readings and poems appealed to our generosity and our sense of welcome, and it just felt kind of off. So when I ran across this next piece, written by the UU minister Alicia Ford, I said, that's what I'm talking about. This is the paradigm shift that we need. So this is what she writes. I am a guest here in the house. Are you? We are guests here, here in this house. And whose house do we inhabit? In the small world of our lives, the borders between us, easements, fences, gates, and hedges, serve to delineate, to separate us, to remind us of where my property begins and ends, where your property begins and ends. If you cross over, you are a trespasser or a guest in my house. You've worked to own the small plot of land and the house erected on it. You've claimed it. It is now part of your definition of self, your identity. If I cross over your fences, I am a trespasser or a guest in your house. So what does it mean then that in 1845, the United States crossed over into Mexico and took half of that country? Took land, resources, labor. Was the U.S. trespasser? Guest? Are there to be no consequences for taking what does not belong to you? Should we simply forget whose house we inhabit? Hospitality implies that the house belongs to us, that the land, the resources that are a part of this house is ours, and we who now live here are being virtuous in our willingness to share. It erases the history that it would have us remember that those who cross the border today, those choosing to brave the harsh conditions of the desert, who face the possibility of death, imprisonment, deportation, criminalization, are doing so because the U.S. once crossed their borders to extract their resources and labor. It is, for them, a matter of survival. It is, for the U.S., a matter of restitution. The prospect of restitution is scary. Where do we begin? With Mexico? With Native Americans? With territories? With the descendants of those who were enslaved? How do we acknowledge and address the complexities of our past, present, and if we are not conscious, future dominance? What would right relationship look like? And for us, Unitarian Universalists, what would it mean for us to shake off the idea of hospitality as a central principle and delve into the concept of restitution? Whose house do we inhabit? For we are not hosts, not owners, nor are we guests. What then is our responsibility? I see this as a paradigm shift because it moves us away from an individualist view to an interdependent view. We are here, I am here, only because others were. We are embedded in a history we can ignore but that does not ignore us. This interdependence, this history, can humble us. It need not lead to shame or guilt, but humility. This humility calls us to a response that is built into our faith as Unitarian Universalists, that we belong to one another, that we can help create a world marked by love and justice, not the happenstance of where and to whom you were born. In her poem, in her writing, she asked, "Whose house do we inhabit?" And she capitalized house. I imagine to urge us into a view of ourselves as part of something bigger than nation or race, whether we call that humanity at our best, whether we call that being children of God. We were all given life. We were all given this earth. Nothing we did or didn't do made us earn those gifts. So what response makes sense other than great gratitude, humility, and responsibility? I'll close by telling you about the end of my interview with that couple I started with, the man whose real fear about deportation has kept him in his house for a year. He said that he and his wife know there are still many good people here in this country. People who love other people, he said. People who help you, no matter what your race. He said that for him and his wife, this experience reinforces them the principle that even when you succeed in life, you must continue to respect the people who happen to have less. They said they are grateful for the solidarity they see in some. They are grateful that there are people, he said, who learn about other people's problems and try to solve them. But I would just add, these are not other people's problems, for we belong to one another. We can figure this out. Sí, se puede. May it be so.